Well, as you can see, they got the scaffolding up. They got the scissor lift over there. And there's some paint buckets and a spray rig around here somewhere. I don't know exactly where it is. It's back behind because we're going to be painting this ceiling up here. And we're not going to go down yonder, and we're going to stay in here. But we just going to have a bunch of stuff on the platform. I mean, they're getting everything ready. By next Wednesday night, they'll be painting in here. And so we're going to, I think that she said it's going to be black. You're going to paint that ceiling black up there. Yeah, some of the stuff will still be in here on Sunday. So, but
it's going to be black by Sunday.
Part of it's going to be black by Sunday. Okay, good. You know, that's really good for the television because the light doesn't reflect off of it. If you ever noticed, any of those places or theaters or stuff, it always the ceiling's black. So we're going that direction. We're getting stuff done. Amen. You know, just redoing stuff. Making it pretty. All right. You know, did you know your confidence has great reward? The Word of God says that. But you know, there are several things that contribute to success in life. And one of the key ingredients to success is confidence. If you don't believe you can, you won't. You got to have confidence. That's why, you know, some people have a problem getting up and speaking in front of people because they don't have the confidence that they can do it. They don't believe they can do it. They don't believe, you know, but confidence in God, confidence in, you know, we need not only have confidence in God, but we need to have confidence in the fact of what we can do with God's help. Amen. You know, without confidence, a person struggles. I don't know who said this, it's anonymous. When our grip on confidence is lost, the song remains unsung. The books are never written. The buildings are never built. The mountains are never conquered. And the dream remains only a dream. You know, I have my dad used to say it to me, and I had coaches say it to me. Son, if you don't believe you can, you won't. I mean, he told me that many, many times. You know, confidence is the ingredient that is absolutely necessary in our spiritual life and in our natural life. You know, without confidence, we won't walk in the victory that God says we can. Now, the word confidence, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, gives the idea of assurance. You know, let's look at this. When you get an invitation to go someplace, you know, it's some big dignitary place, you know, and so forth, and you have to dress up and put on the tuxedo and the, what do they call it, black tie? Yeah, black tie event. Anybody ever been invited to any one of those? Yeah. I got a few people there. I've been to a few of my own self, you know. Well, you have the invitation. You walk up to go into the place with confidence because and assurance that you're supposed to be there. See, the Word of God tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. That's, you go in with confidence because of who you are in Christ. I know whenever Lynette and I, back in the early 70s, when we was traveling with Dad out on the road, well, we did several meetings out there in California, and several of the entertainers that we had met Rosie Greer. In fact, Rosie Greer came to Rhema and talked at Rosie. And then Pat Boone. In fact, Pat Boone's been to camp meeting. And we got invited over to their houses and stuff, you know. Well, you know, just anybody's not going to go there. But I drove right up, parked right there because I had the confidence because I was invited. I'm talking about confidence. David was a man who had confidence. Psalm 71:1. In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. The Amplified Version says that, for you, verse 5, it says, for you are my hope, O Lord, you are my trust from my youth and the source of my confidence. The NLT says, O Lord, you alone are my hope. I trusted you, O Lord, from childhood. The voice says, you are my hope, Eternal One. You, Lord, have been the source of my confidence since I was young. And the Jubilee Bible, for thou art my hope, O Lord. Thou art my security from my youth. When you have confidence, you have a security. You're secure. You know, notice here that the psalmist said the Lord was his confidence since the youth. Ever since he was young, he was confident that the Lord would never let him down. During all the difficulties of David's life, and he had bunches of them, he maintained his confidence in God, that God was his source. God would see him through. You know, have you ever noticed as we go through the seasons of life, have you ever noticed that sometimes you'll be on a mountaintop and sometimes you're dealing with everything that's going on? And sometimes people say they don't understand. And you see, you know, you're flying high yesterday, but today you can hardly move one foot in front of the other one. You know, one person said, I used to feel close to God. Now I don't feel him at all. Everything was going well yesterday, but today I'm in the biggest struggle of my life. See, in all of that, we still have to maintain our confidence in God, in the Word of God. You know, situations change. People change their mind. Promises are made and promises are broken. We face trouble. And yet, the question is asked all the time, what do we do in the midst of all of this? David said, even in my trouble, my confidence is in God, Jehovah. No matter what happened, he remained confident that God would take him through, would see him through. I want to encourage you to hold on to your confidence in God and his promises. See, don't let go of your confidence. Now, the writer in Hebrews says, in a way, what the psalmist was saying, sort of echoes it. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done all the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, I want you to notice, I said, firstly, before I read that, I said, don't let go of your confidence. It says here, don't cast away your confidence. So evidently, if you're not careful, you can let your guard down and lose your confidence. The New International Version says, don't throw away your confidence. The New Century says, so do not lose courage. You know, many times, and I use a lot of sporting illustrations because I did that all my life, and I think they're good. Somebody will say about somebody that sometimes, like a golfer, they've lost their confidence. They're just not swinging good anymore. You know, they've lost their confidence in what they can do. You know, sometimes guys in the batter's box, and they're struggling, and they've lost their confidence in being able to hit. But you know what? Let them get one good hit, or let that golfer get one good swing, and all of a sudden, the confidence comes back. You know, you can see, especially, you can really see this in basketball. A guy that's a really good shooter, but all of a sudden he can't hit the broadside of a barn. You know, I mean, he's shooting and it's done. And if you can tell when he's lost his confidence because he has a wide open shot and he passes the ball. He don't take the shot. He's lost his confidence. See, we can lose our confidence just because we face all kinds of problems. This, he said, don't throw away your confidence. Cast, throw, you know, hold on to it. You know, sometimes you start out with great confidence. Man, we got great expectations, and man, everything's going good and so forth. Our confidence is high. But then, all of a sudden, we go along and we just grow weary in well-doing. And the Bible says, don't grow weary in well-doing. And sometimes we get in the midst of all of the distractions of our lifetime and all in the busyness of our schedules, and we lose sight and lose our confidence. You know, the enemy is always going to attack you. So you might as well get used to it. Don't lose your confidence. The enemy is going to come and see if he can steal your confidence in the Word of God. If he can steal your confidence in this Word right here, he has got you. You'll never get another blessing from the Lord, because you don't believe it. See, he comes with thoughts to your mind and harasses you. He attacks us from many different situations. But see, you got to determine that I'm going to persevere and I'm not going to cast away my confidence. I don't care what comes or what happens. God is going to see me through. My confidence is in this Word right here, what the Word says. And I go back to it all the time. The Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's my confidence. My confidence is in this Word of God. What God said. God said it and he meant what he said. And he said here, if you don't cast away your confidence, you'll be rewarded. Right? Isn't that what it said? See? You've got to determine whether you're going to hold on to your confidence or whether you're going to let it go. It's up to you. It ain't up to God. It ain't up to your friend. It ain't up to me. It's up to you. You hold the key. Now, Hebrews 3:14 is interesting. It says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's saying here, hold your confidence steadfast to the end. The writer of Hebrews here is telling us, hey, we hold the beginning of our confidence and we hold on to it steadfastly until the end. Don't let nothing take it away from you. you know, you can take a, you know, like my dogs, I got big Great Pyrenees, but I mean, it's growing up as a kid. I had bulldog, collie dog. We had Lynette and I had a German shepherd named Prince. He was black. He was huge. I mean, when he was 6 months old, he would lay down and take up the whole back seat of a 65 Ford. Wasn't he, hon? And he loved Lynette. And he would try to get up in her lap. And that big old thing would try to get up in her lap. Because he loved Miss Lynette. But we got him. He was just a pup. We named him Prince because his dad's name was King. And it was so funny. They would call, that's the man that owned it, said, King is out again. And they lived on a cul-de-sac. And he won't let nobody, the postman, the milkman, nobody. He won't let them down the street. So they'd have to call him. Wasn't that right? And then Prince, we named our dog Prince. Well, Prince's mom, she was one of the men in our church. And he had an oil lease going out and checking stuff. You could pet her. You could put your hand down. If you put your hand down in that bed of that, because she rode in the back of his pickup. If you put your hand down in there, she'd just back off and look at you. But if you gripped a wrench, she wouldn't bite you. She'd just clamp down on your hand just like that. And if you turned it loose, she'd back off. Well, Prince got both from both sides. He was a great dog. But here he is, this big old thing. I mean, at 2 or 3 months, he's lumbering around, you know. But Lynette had Pierre, and we got married in December 65, and I got Pierre for her in April of 66. And he lived for 17 years, Pierre did. Now, Pierre and this pup, he wasn't but 3 or 4 months old. Now, Pierre would have a hold of like a sock or something in his mouth, and Prince would be laying over here, and he'd have it in his mouth. And, I mean, Prince probably weighed 50 pounds or so. He was a big one. And here, this little poodle, he stood about this tall, and he weighed 17 pounds, I think. About 12 pounds. And he's tugging and pulling with all his worth. And Prince is just stretching his neck out, letting him pull. And pretty soon, Prince has a hold of that, and he would flip like that. And Pierre would flip over his, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he, hon? Flip over his back. But he wouldn't turn loose. He hung on. Pierre, he'd flip him over his back. And it was funny. But he wouldn't turn loose. That's what I want you to realize. When you got to hold on to your confidence in God and the Word of God like that dog. I mean, he got flipped in the air, but he still wouldn't turn loose. You got to get to the point that you won't turn loose of your confidence in what God said. No matter what happens. Yeah, but you don't know about I don't care about your condition. I don't need to know about it. All you need to know is what the Bible says, and if you have confidence in it, then it'll work. I mean, y'all understand what I'm trying to say? See, keep a firm grip on your confidence. You know, you can tell a person that is confident by the way they walk. You know that when they're walking? You can tell when they're confident. You know? You can tell on a ball team. You can tell when they've lost their confidence the way they come on and off of the field. if they hustle onto the field and hustle off the field, but if they just drag off and drag on, they've lost their confidence. You might as well shut the game down right there, because it ain't going no further. The other team's going to win. You got to keep your confidence. You know, walk confidently. I mean, I used to, when I was playing ball, you know, I would watch the guy that if I'm defending him, or if I'm going out trying to catch a pass or whatever I'm doing, I would watch a guy. Or if I'm, and I was a, Lynette tell you, I played fast pitch softball down there in Texas. And that's, for y'all that's never played men's fast pitch softball, it is, anybody here played men's fast pitch softball? If you got a good fastball pitcher, that ball's coming in there at about 95, 100 miles an hour. People don't, they softball, they don't think about that. They think about a pitcher throwing the hard ball that fast. But if you got a good softball pitcher, the distance and the difference is, you know. And I would watch. And I had a reputation for, I was a leadoff batter and bunting my way on most of the time because I was fast, real fast. And I had a reputation for stealing. And I could tell the catcher, I could tell the way he would step out and look down at me. I could tell that he don't think he can get me. Now, if an old guy's out there pretty confident, I'm watching myself. But once I see a guy like that, I get my lead off. And the minute he starts around, I'm gone. Because that catcher's already told me by the way his reaction, he's already told me he don't have the confidence that he can throw me out. And I didn't get thrown out very much, did I, babe? But I had confidence. I believed that I could steal that base. See, you got to have that kind of confidence in the Word of God. You know, Tony Cook here. He used to be our associate and still very close friend. And he's a tennis player. And I've seen him serve the ball a couple of times. When he throws that ball up in there and comes to, I can tell he has confidence when he's left-handed. I can tell he has confidence. I played enough basketball with him to know. I see that grit them teeth. He's got that, I don't know. And he'd look at me. We'd look at one another and we'd go. We'd say, we're going to beat this team because we played together on the staff basketball team. But he had confidence. We had confidence. I would go down and I'd pass him the ball because I got confidence in him. If I don't have confidence in a guy, I ain't going to pass him the ball because all he's going to do is mess up. Come on now. You guys, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. How many of you guys ever played on a basketball team and you wouldn't pass that guy the ball? How many? Wave your hand at me. Come on. Why? You had no confidence in him. Brother Bill knows what I'm talking about. Now, Brother Bill got confidence. He sits down in that post, and I guarantee you, You better know what you're doing when you go down there, because Brother Bill ain't going to move. I played against him. But see, that I'm talking about a confidence that believes that, I don't know what to call it, that bulldog tenacity that I just, hey, I don't care, Mr. Devil. You're not going to steal my confidence. I know what God said. God said it. I believe it. I don't care what you bring. I don't care what comes. My confidence is in what God's word said. The word said it. You know, boldly believe God. Stand there. Now the question is, how do we hold on our confidence? Number one, to hold on to your confidence, you know, you got to keep your heart right with God. 1 John 3:21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. See, I know we live in a, and it goes on in verse 22 says, and receive before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. We have confidence that he is going to hear us, you know, but some people, it says here that we, if our hearts do not commend us, we have confidence for him because we obey his commands. In the day and age we're living in, some people think it's okay. Whatever you do, it's all right. No, it's not. If it's not, if it's against the word of God, it's not right. And, you know, the question is, how can you tell if your heart's right before God when it's not condemning you, when you're not feeling bad? Somebody said, well, what do you do if you messed up? Then do what he says in 1 John 1:9. Ask for forgiveness. Another way that you can hold on to your confidence is by knowing what you're asking for or what you're believing for is in accordance with the word of God. Now, one guy told my dad one time, well, I'm going to believe that I'm going to get 500 oil wells. My dad told him, you ain't ever going to get it. I don't care how much you believe. Because the word of God doesn't tell you to believe for 500 oil wells. It tells you to believe that he will take care of you and he'll give you what you need and he will prosper you, but it doesn't tell you to believe for 500 oil wells. There's no confidence. You can't have, how many understand what I'm talking to you about? See, when it's talking about here, asking in faith according to the will of God. And 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What is his will? Right here, what he says in the word of God, his will is that you'll be protected. His will is that you have a good life. His will is that all of your needs are met. Come on. You got to have confidence. You renew your mind with the revelation of God's word, then you'll know what his will is. I'm not talking about your will, what you do, you're in life. I'm talking about what the will of God is concerning your confidence in the word. When we know what the word says, we can confidently know that when we pray, he hears us and he will reward us. You know, here, look at all these verses. If we have confidence in him. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, when you pray, believe that you receive whatever these things. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have them. 1 John 14:13. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall have what you desire, it shall be done. John 16:23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Keep your confidence in God. You know, knowing that when you ask, it's going to happen. That's your confidence. Well, but you don't ever know what's going to happen. Yeah, I do. What the word says, that's what's going to happen. What the Bible says. See, make sure whatever you ask in prayer, whatever you ask, is in line with the word of God. Now, my dad used to say that all the time. Some of you that have been around him, you ask in line with the word of God. You know, some people are asking for things, but it's not really in line with the word of God. Well, I'll give one example. I remember this lady. Dad was pastoring a church, and this lady come and said, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray with me about she's going to marry this guy. And Dad told her, said, you know what the Bible says. He wasn't a Christian. In fact, he is a mean old guy. And she said, well, I'm going to go out in the church and I'm going to pray. My dad told her, go pray all you want. The Bible still says what it says. So she went and prayed, and she come and back and said, well, the Lord told me it'd be all right. He said, no, he didn't. Because it's not, it's out of line with his word. I've had people tell me certain things like that. And it can't be, because it's out of line with God's word. God doesn't, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his word. Well, she went ahead and married him, and it wasn't three weeks. She's knocking on the parsonage door, and she had a black eye, and her face was all swollen up. He had beat the tar out of her. She said, well, I thought the Lord told me it'd be all right. Dad said, I told you the Lord didn't tell you to be all right. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. Well, you know, you got to have confidence in the word of God and believe the word. Ask in line with the word of God what I'm talking about. Then you can be confident. Because if you're asking in line with God's word, you can be confident. You know, I remember I was about 5 years old. We closed a meeting out in West Texas. We got in the car. We were going to drive to McKinney, to my dad, my grandmother's house, my dad's mom. And I remember we stopped, and Dad, I saw him. He put the gas in the car, and then he didn't fill it up. He counted out how, before he counted how much. He looked at the deal, and he paid for it. We got in the car, and I said, well, Dad, you didn't fill the car up. He said, well, I used all the money I had. So he sat there behind that steering wheel, and he said, Lord, I thank you now. I've used all my money to buy this gas. And I thank you now for getting us to Mama's house. Amen. He cranked the car and we started. I said, how long is the gas going to last? And he said, till we get to Mama's house. I watched that gauge go all the way down. Car sputtered a couple of times. Dad said, no. You said that if we would do our part, you would do your part. I thank you, Lord, this car's going to run till we get there. 403 Stanford Street. East Stanford Street. I think that was the number. I know it was on Stanford Street. I remember that. And that's a house set on the corner. I stayed with her lots of times. Now, he had confidence in what the Bible said. The Bible said that if you pray and ask and you're doing it, he said, I'm doing what you've done. We'd pray. We'd had a meeting. Close the meeting. Didn't get much money. Didn't even get enough to buy gas to get home on. See, some of y'all think that we was always where you've seen us in the last few years. I can take you back when we was eating cornbread and beans, and that was all we had. But see, if you have confidence in the word, you keep staying with the word, you'll come out on top. Oh, you may go through some rough places, but your confidence has to be there. The three Hebrew children went in the fire furnace, but they come out. Their confidence was in God. They went in, but they came out. Daniel went in the lion's den, but he came out. His confidence was in God. See, you got to hold on to your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence. Hold on to your confidence no matter what. I don't care, through the good, through the bad, through the thick, through the thin, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. Hang on. Hang on to what God said. Everybody stand up. Say this with me. My confidence is in the word. God said it. I believe it. I have confidence. that he will perform what he said. Now, thank God for it. Raise your hands and thank God for it. Father, I thank you that everything that you said will come to pass in our lives. I thank you for it, Father. Whatever these people need tonight, may they hold their confidence on that part, on what God said, and watch it come to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. They just come on an online request. Somebody that's watching online, Glory needs prayer for a thyroid surgery. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you. As Glory goes in for this thyroid surgery, her faith is there. I thank you that that surgery will be a perfect surgery with no complications and a quick and speedy recovery in Jesus' name. Amen. Now somebody said you didn't pray for healing. She didn't ask for healing. She said she's having surgery. You got to learn to be where people's faith are. And you can pray for somebody to have a perfect surgery. Hello. That's what she was. See, don't try to bring somebody up to where you're believing God. If wherever they're believing God is, you join faith with them right there. Hallelujah. Well, if you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you need to know him so you can get in on all the good things I was talking about tonight. Or if you know that you need to rededicate your life, you know what it is, but you know you're just not where you need to be with God. Down here at the front, the ladies, and here's the guys over here. As we're dismissed, if you'll come, they'll pray with you. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you want the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you about something, come down here. They'll pray with you. And we have confidence that when we pray, that you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Remember all of the announcements, all right? Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to get that special gift that we have that we're putting together for them. Hey, if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Hey, welcome home. Just come on, join us. We have a great time serving God around here, unlimited. Thank you for being with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Remember Sunday morning right here. Amen. 9 o'clock, School of the Bible. Get involved in the School of the Bible class. That's where you can establish relationships. Remember, I talked for 2 weeks about relationships, right? And then 10 o'clock, the regular service. Shake hands with somebody and say, my confidence is in the Lord. We'll see you Sunday. God bless. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, ladies, come over here, the men over here, in Jesus' name. Amen.